I must confess to you that I have struggled with what to say to you today. I had it all planned out until Friday morning. And I felt like those words probably would not do. This is the same scripture, because I could not find one adequate enough. Sorry, you guys. I'm afraid I might just stand here and cry in front of you for the next 15 minutes. And that won't do either. It doesn't seem like that long ago. Thanks, Julie. You're a good friend. It doesn't seem like that long ago when we were talking about this from the shooting in Florida. Do you realize since January 1st, we've averaged about one schooling a week. We don't hear about all of them. Ethan, when I picked him up from school on Friday, he said, "Mom, first period," he said, "we gathered in class and our topic was school shootings. We were doing a project about it, about where they happened, to be aware of what was going on." And he said, "before we ever made it to second period, we heard that there had been another one in Santa Fe." He said, "Mom, we were scared." Our kids were already scared. And it's a mess. Folks, we have a mess on our hands. Our culture has changed faster than what we've been able to keep up with. Most of us here were raised in a time, we're born into a time when technology wasn't that big of a deal. We would say that we had pretty much a normal childhood. Most of us remember our first televisions. We remember that the knobs fell off, that we had to have rabbit ears, that we had to have pliers to change the channels, that there was only one phone in the home, and most likely it was rotary dial. And then you heard stories from your parents about some kind of party line, and you're like, "what was that?" Right? It's a shared line. We went from a time from party lines to shared landlines to a time when everyone has their own cell phone, and not just their own cell phone, but their own computer in their hand, that everything is instantaneous. And we use that gadget for all kinds of things. We use it to communicate through voice, through FaceTime, through text, through email. It has opened us up to a global world very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. I think back in my own lifetime, from the rotary phone to the very idea of a cell, well, not even that, through the time, do you remember the first time they brought cordless homes into the house and you were free and you didn't have to be hooked to the wall? Do you remember that? And we thought it was a big deal. And boy, were we mad when the battery died on it. It was a big deal when people could leave messages on your own answering machine. So very quickly, we have become so connected to a very, very small community, to a very, very big community. From a time when we spent very little time in front of the television because we only had three channels, to the bursting of the scene on cable, and that when we came to church 30 years ago, we were all watching the same thing because those were the only things to watch. To point now, most of us are not watching the same thing, and if we are, we're not watching it at the same time. I want you to hear what this is doing to community. We become very individualized with the fast pace of technology, and we haven't been able to keep up on how to keep community while still dealing with the uprise and the fast pace of technology. Technology is moving so fast that once you buy something like a television, the newest thing comes out. This 4K television business, I don't know what that is, but my son does, because his generation is, this generation coming up is the first generation that is technologically savvy. They do not have memories of being without technology. They don't know what it's like to be stuck to a wall talking to their friend. They don't know what it means to miss a message. They do not know what it means to go to the Encyclopedia Britannica and look something up. They do not know what it means to go to the library and go through the index cards to find what they want. The very essence of time is different for them than it is for us, because we hold on to these memories. We know what it means. And some of us can keep up with the technology change, and some of us cannot. But what's happened, because we have not kept up and we have not been vitally aware, it has snuck up on us and bit us on the butt big time. Because what happens is we do not realize, we don't even want to face our own addictions to it. And our kids, I mean, we know the difference between what it was to have technology and what it was not to have technology. And we haven't really dealt with our own. How many of us wake up in the morning, one of the first things you do is check your email, check your text, check Facebook, check the news to make sure you have not missed anything? Yeah. Used to, you'd wake up in the morning, you'd wait for your paper to arrive, you'd turn on the news. If nobody calls early in the morning, then nothing exciting happened in the world. And you didn't worry about it. There was a sense of peace. But now we're so addicted, we worry about what we've missed, whether it has something to do with us or not. And it's caught up with us. It's very disturbing when most of us are addicted to our electronics that we'll be scrolling through Facebook and there's these messages of like, look at this dad scrolling through whatever and he's not even paying attention to his kid who's playing on the playground. Look, I'm going to go kidnap this kid and he's not even going to notice. And they do. Of course, you know, they're just trying to teach the dad a lesson. But those who are watching it are just as addicted as the dad. And it's very, very, very subtle. That inclination like, oh, it's been an hour and, oh, I haven't checked my phone. Why hasn't my phone buzzed or rang or done something? Have I missed something? Now, if we're dealing with this, think about our children who are first generation, who that is all they've known. My daughter, when she was two, she was working that iPhone better than I could. And for some reason, she could get to the app where you can buy the apps. What is that app called? iTunes, or not the iTunes one, the other one, the App Store. She could get to the App Store better, faster than anybody at the age of two. And she'd scroll and look. And it's like she knew what they were. How could she do that? How could she know? But she did. This generation does not remember a time when they did not have this gadget in their hand. Everything is immediate. So we have a whole culture that's down here like this. And it's disrupting our community. What happens even within our households, we'll be together in the same room, but what is everybody doing? I can't tell you how many pictures I have of my family, like three generations of us, my parents, me and my husband and my kids, and we're all, it's a picture of us, and we're all like this, you know, with our phone in our hand. Because that's what we're doing. We're not talking to each other face to face. Here's the problem. Technology's not the problem, except we're not keeping up with it. We don't realize what it's doing to us, doing to our community. Because what's happening is the face to face time, which as old timers, right, those who remember what it was like to not have technology, we still have that skill. We have the skill for looking people in the eye, having face-to-face conversations and heart-to-heart conversations, and going very deep with those conversations. That we know in the back of our mind, even though we love to troll through Facebook or whatever, that relationships go much deeper than that. Oh, so much more deeper. That Facebook or whatever you're using for social media, whatever our kids are using for social media, is not really relationship oriented. It's just an outlet for two things: outlet to know what's going on in the world, and number two, so that you can express whatever you want to express on there. But it's not really relationship oriented. Relationship is conversation. It's being at a table and everyone's left their phone behind. And conversation comes easy. To be honest, as my kid gets older and as we've become more technologically, what's the word? Savvy? I can't even say the word because I'm not. My relationship with Ethan has gotten harder. I would like to blame it that it's because he's a teenager, and that's part of it, but it's not the whole story, because when I talk to him, it's become harder. We've grown distant because we're both interacting so much with our own worlds in our phone. He has his circle of friends on his phone. I have my circle. I have the things that I want to look at. He has the things that he looks at, that we're not communicating like we should. And when we sit at the table and the rule is no phones, somehow the phones pop up. Because this awkwardness of what do we say to each other now? It's breaking down the system of our home because we're not nurturing face-to-face values. They're saying that these generations coming up are the first ones that are not going to be able to write professionally because they know how to speak text and through emails. That our expectations, because of the way we were raised without technology, is different than their expectations, and what is important and what is not important, and there's this tension. We talk about the school and the way we went to school, it wasn't a problem because we didn't have technology to deal with. School was school. It wasn't much different than home. There wasn't a whole lot of TV. You did your work, and we lived for the playground. And when we got home, we lived to go outside and play with our friends. That was our joy in life. But now school doesn't work that way. And we're like, why? We went to school, we did it, why can't you? Because their brains are no longer wired like our brains are wired. It's breaking down our capability to build relationship. So what happens, even though we may have 1,000 friends on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, or whatever platform we're on, we're alone. And being alone, I only have 4 minutes and 57 seconds to talk to you guys. My sermons have gotten so long, they're counting them down. Wow. That's hilarious. I'll have you know, Ingrid Clark, that I will speak as long as I want to. I know you want to get to your cake. That our relationship is extremely important. So what's happening is, I'm going to put it to you this way. Your relationship with God is the most important relationship you will ever have. There isn't any television, isn't any screen, any phone, any iPad, tablet, anything that's going to nurture your relationship with God. Because it takes personal time. It takes time in the Holy Word. And of course, you can argue, but I've got the Bible on my phone. Well, I hope you're opening up and using it more than the one on your nightstand, right? And it takes prayer and meditation to garnish that relationship. It takes face-to-face time with God. And our relationships in our community. God sent the Holy Presence. God is all about community. God created us for community. This whole idea about the Holy Spirit living in us, God doesn't want to live away from us because God is a communal God. God is a communal God. God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with everybody. That we come together and have deep, abiding relationships with one another. So part of this is we've got to wake up. Because what's happening in our schools are kids who feel extremely alone. They're deeply connected in their electronics, but those deep connections in those electronics are shallow. These kids don't feel supported, they feel alone, and they're not getting a whole lot of guidance. And we're too busy in our own little worlds to see how hard and badly and deeply they're hurting. So number one, we've got to break our own addictions. You know, whenever we make changes, it starts in our own house. We'd like to say, oh, we want to go fix all these kids. Well, first we've got to fix ourselves. Those of us who've let technology into our home, I want you to be honest how much time you spend with screen time. Mine's bad. Screen time includes even work time. So television time, phone time, tablet time, computer time. If it's a screen, it counts. How many hours a day? How many hours a day? And I would say if it's, unless your job is really heavy and you're going to have to balance that out, I would ask myself, if I'm on my screen 8 hours a day for my work, I need to get home and I need to put it down because 8 is too much. I don't need to be back on it at all. To set your own boundaries for your screen time. To be more adamant about having time with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, your parents, those who mean the most to you, face-to-face time. And for some of us who are addicted and do not want to face it, it's going to be hard to leave that behind. But in order to make change, we've got to make change with ourselves. We've got to wake up. We've got to pay attention to what's going on. So looking at our own life, self-introspection is always extremely important before we move ahead and go out into the world to change the world. So after we've done that, the second thing, your second challenge is to really pour into a kid. Like, I've got two kids in my own household. Some of you don't have that luxury. I promise it's not a luxury. To find a kid to invest in. If you're an aunt or an uncle, be more adamant in those relationships. Pursue them with all you have. If you have a kid in the neighborhood and you're close to that family, be a part of that. Make sure you talk to that kid. When you see them out in the yard, say, "Hey, how's it going?" Ask them how their day was. Look them in the eye. One of the things Martin Luther King talked about in a lot of his writings is how interrelated we are. That we are now a global community more than we ever were. And he was talking about a global community in the 1960s. He probably never imagined how global we are now. That every kid is our kid. Every kid is our kid. Every person on the planet we're responsible for. Because they're God's children. They're our brothers and our sisters. We are all heirs to the kingdom of God. We are all pursued by the same Holy Spirit. We are all inspired by the same Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what race, nationality, or even religion. That there is this ownership. So the last thing I want to share with you is this kid, Dimitri, who's locked up in Galveston, probably scared out of his wits, and probably wondering, what the hell did I just do? One thing about social media is it gets ugly really fast. Don't be a part of that. You can be angry. I think we all have a right to be angry. But to put all of our anger on this kid isn't fair, because we all have a role to play in it. One thing Ethan says, there's a lot of depressed kids in school, Mom. Problem is, we don't know which one's going to turn on us. They're scared. All our kids are scared. It doesn't matter what school district they're in, they're scared. We have a lot of scared kids on our hand. We have a lot of kids that are hurting deep down in their core, and they don't know what to do about it. They feel alone. They need some guidance. They need some mentors. They need people who believe in them, that give them hope and give them love, and that will sustain them. This kid was looking for someone to accept him. Sadly, he picked out a girl that she didn't want to have anything to do with him. Wrong choice. But he didn't have the coping skills to move on, because he didn't have those deep abiding relationships. When you don't have deep abiding relationships with other human beings don't mean a whole lot. The more we get intermeshed in technology, the less humanity is going to mean to us. Human beings have got to mean more. Face-to-face conversation has got to mean more than all this other stuff that we're escaping into. We can't escape this. We've got to hit it head on. And that takes change from all of us. And we can do it because God is in our side. God says, be strong and courageous because I am with you. Joshua 1:9. The Gospel of John, Jesus says in chapter 14, I give you my peace. My peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I give you my peace. Perfect love casts out fear. Do not forget. We are in a community now that needs Christ more than ever, that needs hope more than ever, that needs to have fear cast out more than ever, that needs words of hope. So if you do get on social media this week, give out those words of encouragement. give those words of hope. Be the light of Christ in a time of darkness. Be a presence that promotes healing in a place that is so filled with pain right now. And invest. Invest in those one-on-one relationships. In the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we go to our last song, I want to invite anyone who would like to join this congregation to make this your church home to come and speak to me. But also, I think we need a lot of prayer this morning. And I think we probably need more prayer than we need cake, even though I think some of us might need cake. The altar rails are open for you to stay and pray as long as you want. Even when the service is over, if you want to stay and pray, then stay and pray. Believe me, it's a big cake. There will be plenty of cake. All right? And you've got plenty of time to eat that cake. But the most important thing that we can do today is pray together and sing and praise God.